Now, here's an interesting fact. Afghanistan has had 6 different national anthems in the last 80 years. Iraq and China have had 5 each. When the country changes, it makes sense to change the anthem. So, for the sake of discussion, let's put God Save the Queen into Room 101 and think what we might want to say instead about Britain today. Something that will give us all a bit of a glow. Well, to help me, I'd like to welcome on the line from Winnipeg in Canada, a world authority on national anthems, David Kendall. Hello, David.
Hello.
Now, you've collected, I understand, the words and music of hundreds of national anthems. They're all on your wonderful website, and there's a link to it on the Word of Mouth website. So what's the range of different anthems we could listen to if we wanted to invent a new one?
You get the stately hymns like God Save the Queen and things like that. You get the revolutionary type anthems like the French anthem, the old Soviet anthem. You get the real long, drawn-out, almost operatic pieces of Latin America. You get some countries out in Africa and India using their own kind of folk style of music. So we pretty much have the whole gamut.
And as well as all the anthems in the world today, we could look at how anthems have changed since they were first invented. But actually, before we get into that, when did they start?
You guys in Britain can probably take the credit for it. The earliest national anthem is probably what was then, of course, known as God Save the King, which was first performed in 1745 when King George II defeated the Bonnie Prince Charles. And after that was performed, of course, the king liked it. And subsequently, all the European visitors from other states would come and visit Great Britain. They would hear the anthem being played, think, hey, this is a great idea. I'd want my citizens to praise me. So they'd come back to their countries and have national anthems written for them. And, of course, then there's the other scale, the ones that don't have monarchies and just wouldn't write a hymn to celebrate the king. You would have countries like France, where they're in the middle of a revolution and they have a rallying cry of something like La Marseillaise, where the people rally behind that, and it's a real identifying point for the nation.
I mean, some anthems are a bit warlike, aren't they?
It depends on what kind of background the anthem's coming from, what kind of background the country's coming from. A lot of the Middle East anthems, Arab nation anthems, do tend to have that. Libya is full of the warlike nature, and of course, communist anthems like the Soviet Union's and China. But there's also some countries, surprisingly enough, that are considered more peaceful countries that have very warlike anthems. Ireland's anthem is titled The Soldier's Song. It talks about a soldier. Poland's anthem is talking about when it first was striving for independence back in the 1790s. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, the French national anthem, full of raising high the bloody standards, advance, lots of blood, lots of gore in the French national anthem, which is a real dichotomy as to what the French nation has become nowadays.
Now, I was looking at the various Afghan national anthems, 6 of them since 1926. Mm-hmm. Now, for the first 17 years, they had a tune, but no words to go with it. Is that unusual?
Actually, it's not as unusual as you may think. It's more unusual nowadays. Nowadays, there's only about 3 or 4 countries that don't have words to their anthem. Spain is one of them. A little country surrounded by Italy, San Marino, is another one of them. They all have unofficial words written by somebody, but none of the words have been made official in those two countries. And the European anthem, Ode to Joy, officially does not have any words, I guess because of the various language spoken in the EU. Iraq also, you mentioned earlier, has gone through 5 changes in its anthem, and 3 of those have been wordless anthems. Russia, too, just after the Communist Party fell and Russia regained its independence, they also had a wordless anthem. That was one of the sticking points with the Russian people. They saw their athletes winning at the Olympics, and nobody would be singing along because there was nothing to sing along with. So people were starting to say, hey, we need a new anthem. This is when Vladimir Putin first came in, and he said, well, okay, we'll bring in an anthem. And they brought in the old Soviet anthem, but with new words written for Russia and her free status now.
Back to Afghanistan. For 30 years, 1943 to 73, their anthem celebrated the fact that they were a monarchy.
Our brave and dear king, we are your faithful followers. We are your sons. We are ready to sacrifice to you. O our king, O our king, O our king and friend of the people.
Then they had one that celebrated the fact that they weren't a monarchy.
Long live the Afghan nation, long live the Republic. Forever there be our national unity, forever there be the Afghan nation and the Republic. Forever the Afghan nation, the Republic, and national unity. National unity.
Then they had one that celebrated the fact that they had been invaded by the Soviet Union.
Our revolutionary homeland is now in the hands of the workers. The inheritance of lions now belongs to the peasants. The age of tyranny has passed. The turn of the labourers has come. We want peace and brotherhood between the peoples of the world. We demand more freedom for all who toil. We want bread for them. We want houses and clothes.
Then they celebrated having got rid of the Russians.
Fortress of Islam, heart of Asia, forever free soil of the Aryans, birthplace of great heroes, fellow traveller of the warriors of the men of God. God is great, God is great, God is great. Arrow of his faith to the arena of jihad, removing the shackles of suppression. The nation of freedom, Afghanistan, breaks the chains of the oppressed in the world. God is great, God is great, God is great.
But when the Taliban took over in 1999, they abolished music altogether. So from 1999 to 2002, Afghanistan was in the unique position of not having a national anthem. Then, in 2002, the old former anthem was reinstated. But earlier this year, 2006, they got a new anthem to celebrate the fact that their country was now united. Well, kind of.
This land is Afghanistan. It is the pride of every Afghan. The land of peace, the land of sword. Its sons are all braves. This is the country of every tribe. Land of Baluchs and Uzbeks, Pashtuns and Hazaras, Turkmen and Tajiks. With them, Arabs and Gajars, Pamirian, Nuristanian, Barakhawi and Kazilbash. Also Amak and Pashai. This land will shine forever like the sun in the blue sky. In the chest of Asia, it will remain as heart forever. We will follow the one God. We all say, Allah is great. We all say, Allah is great.
So, David, one or two subtle changes along the way there. How do those stack up against the rest of the world? Who do you reckon's got the best national anthem?
Oh, goodness, I get people asking me this all the time. There is no real way to measure what is the best anthem. There are, in my mind, aspects as to what I think should make up a good anthem, and one of my litmus tests, if you will, is if you take the anthem lyrics and you remove the name of the country from the lyrics or the name of the nationality or whatever so that it isn't obvious what country the anthem is from, and take a look at the lyrics, and you can still determine what country it's from, then you have a good anthem.
And what about your own anthem, the Canadian national anthem? Your anthem celebrates the landscape we've got, with fertile plains and mountains grand, with lakes and rivers clear. I suppose they're just about, apart from the snow, sums up Canada, does it?
Yeah, all that's missing is the snow, I guess.
Yeah.
That's one of the verses you don't hear very much, but yeah, it does get all the landscape in there.
Well, thanks very much, David Kendall.